Good morning. We're blessed to have each and every one of you with us today in person and both those that join us online. I'm Wayne Young. I'm your liturgist today. And we are really blessed today to have our guest pastor with us. We praise the Lord as we welcome Reverend Jenny Wilson as our guest preacher this morning. She was here last year, many of you may remember, and brought us a meaningful message. She has undergraduate and master's degrees in education and Master of Divinity from Duke Divinity School. She is an ordained elder and has actively served for over 30 years in the North Carolina Conference. Reverend Jenny is now retired. She and her husband, Paul, are blessed to call Granville County home. And again, we're so privileged and blessed to have you with us today. We aren't. Pastor Edgar, he'll be on Sabbath rest from the 22nd to September the 4th. Reverend Jenny will serve as pastor on call for emergency pastoral care and needs. Her number is listed in the bulletin here, and Pastor Edgar extends gratitude to the district superintendent and Plank Chapel PPRC for allowing him the opportunity. Journey will meet today. It starts at 4 and lasts till 6. So we have mailed invites and we have reached out, text or phone calls as a reminder to folks, and we're really trying to encourage people to get back in participation with us now that we're nearing school time. And the charge conference for this year is set for November the 1st. And it'll actually be Plank Chapel's to host church this year. And more to come on that very soon in the coming weeks. And as a reminder, the auction sheets, we have a silent auction going on for two barn quilts, and the auction sheets are actually in the vestibule. So I think the quilts were on display here last week, and not sure where they are right now.
They're
square
as well.
Okay, so then the vestibule as well. So take a look at that, and the proceeds will be going towards pilgrimage for our young people. Are there any other announcements? All right. So let's move on to the call to worship. Welcome. It is good to have you here this day. God is with us, giving that wondrous healing love to each one.
Blessed be God who watches over us.
Come, let us praise God with thankful hearts.
Lord, we come to you in gratitude for all you do for us. Amen.
Now please join me in our opening prayer. Gracious God, we present our very lives as holy and living sacrifices to your purposes. During this time of worship, we seek the renewal of our minds and the strengthening of our spirits. Show us your will, that we may know what is good, acceptable, and perfect in your sight. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in the singing of hymn, Give Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, and it's found on page 127.
Thank you.
remain standing and let's join in an affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, in Jesus Christ, his holy Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From his he comes to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. I see one young person. Do you want to come down for a special time, or would you rather stay where you are? It's okay. All right. That is fine, sweetheart. I would like to meet you afterward, though, okay? We'll talk on our own then. I'm glad that you are here today, and all of you. I thank you all for the invitation. I am grateful and blessed to be with you this morning. Let us continue with our worship with the prayers of the people. Let us pray. We look for you in all the wrong places, God of the last, and we wonder why we cannot find you. We wander the corridors of power while you're on the sidewalks beside the homeless. We sit at head tables of the world while you are handing out soup to the hungry at the kitchen's back door. We applaud those who win the race while you are cheering on those in the last place. In forgiving us, God of new life, you would transform our cold hearts into those melted in service to others. In granting us mercy, you challenge us to think of all those we have ignored. In gifting us with grace, you enable us to proclaim Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, as the hope, the joy, the peace the world seeks. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, who calls us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Yes.
Special prayer today for Miss Roxy, who is a major part of our church. She's in Duke, Raleigh right now, and Miss Judy DeJesus has been in touch with her daughter Jamie, and she has said back to us she really appreciates our prayers. She is suffering from gallstones and having some complications from that, and they're expecting to do surgery early this week. So if you could just continue to pray for Miss Roxy, we'd really appreciate it.
Thank you for lifting that up. Are there any other concerns? I would like to offer a prayer for her in the body. Let us bow our heads. Lord Jesus, you heard the concerns regarding a beloved person here, Miss Roxy. You know Miss Roxy. You know the difficulty she's experiencing, and we know that you are with her. May she feel your presence, and may she feel the prayers and love of everyone here who know and love her. We ask for comfort, for healing, and peace. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. And now hear these words of assurance. It's not money, but our generosity with it. It is not power, but our willingness to humble ourselves. It is not our efforts, but Christ's gift, which transforms us into God's children. It is more than just how we think. In mercy and grace, our lives, our hearts, our spirits are transfigured and made new. Thanks be to God. Amen. When we recognize Christ for who he really is, we find peace and security. We see ourselves as we really are. Let us share this peace with one another as we pass the peace of Christ this day. Peace be with you. Thank you, choir. It's time for our offering, and we invite the ushers to come as we give to God God's tithes and our offerings. We give thanks, O Lord, for these gifts that have been given, knowing they will continue the ministry that you have given this church. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Our hymn is number 616. Come. You may be seated. Thank you. Let us join in praying together the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Gracious God, your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, and strength to follow on the path you set before us. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. The scripture God has given us this morning is found in the book of the prophet Jeremiah. We're in chapter 32, and we'll read verses 1 through the first half of verse 3, and then pick up with verse 6 through 15. Hear now the word of the Lord. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of King Zedekiah of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. At that time, the army of the king of Babylon was besieging Jerusalem, and the prophet Jeremiah was confined in the court of the guard that was in the palace of the king of Judah, where King Zedekiah of Judah had confined him. Verse 6. Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me. Hanamel, son of your uncle Shallum, is going to come to you and say, 'Buy my field that is at Anatoth, for the right of redemption by purchase is yours. Then my cousin Hanamel came to me in the court of the guard, in accordance with the word of the Lord, and said to me, buy my field that is at Anatoth, in the land of Benjamin, for the right of possession and redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field at Anatoth from my cousin Hanamel and weighed out the money to him, 17 shekels of silver. I signed the deed, sealed it, got witnesses, weighed the money on scales. Then I took the sealed deed of purchase containing the terms and conditions and the open copy, and I gave the deed of purchase to Baruch, son of Neriah, son of Maaseiah, in the presence of my cousin Hanamel, in the presence of the witnesses who signed the deed of the purchase, and in the presence of all the Judeans who were sitting in the court of the guard. In their presence, I charged Baruch, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this sealed deed of purchase and this open deed, and put them in an earthenware jar, in order that they may last for a long time. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm going to come down closer. I like to move, and this is flat. I've had cataract surgery, and I'm seeing really well there, but not here. And I need these readers, so I'm having to do this today. I apologize. My new glasses are coming in. Guess when? Tomorrow. Yes. I asked them. I said, I've got something the 23rd. And they said, I'm sorry, we can't get them that fast. So I have to come back, I guess. All right, you heard the story. What if I tell you this is one of my favorite stories? You might have the same reaction that one of the senior highs I was teaching quite some years ago did when I told them, this is my favorite story, one of them. Do you do that in scripture? You know, one of my favorite stories. Because I said, this is one of my favorite stories right after we read it. And there was silence with the young people for a moment. And then one young man spoke and he said, Pastor Jenny, you say that about everything. Everything's your favorite story. He said, but this is a story about somebody buying a piece of land. That's one of your favorite stories? Now, he was a very kind and polite young man, so he stopped short of saying, there's something wrong with you if that's one of your favorite stories. He did not say that. You may have thought that. That's okay. Because I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this story. And it might be one of your favorite stories as well. A lot of this happens. The opening up of God's word in this story happens when we hear what's going on with Jeremiah and God's people at this time. Because God is working here. All right, Jeremiah was called to be a prophet during the 8th century, which unfortunately for him was during the time of exile beginning with the Babylonians, also called the Chaldeans in scripture. They were beginning to come on God's people. And at this moment, when this story is taking place, you may have noticed it said it was biblical words that Jeremiah was held in the court of the guard. He was in jail. The king of God's people, Zedekiah, put him in jail. He called it protective custody. But what it was, Jeremiah was giving God's people the word of the Lord. And Zedekiah did not want to hear that. He wanted people to tell him, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. But it wasn't. The Babylonian army was there. If you know about the exile, so many of the prophets are writing, God sent them to get the word about what's going on. You see, the community of God's people had forgotten what it meant to be God's people. Love the Lord your God with everything of you, heart, mind, soul, strength. And Jesus put them together, all these laws together, when he said, and love your neighbor as yourself. God's people slowly began to forget to do that. And so the community of faith began to fray at the edges. And in the 8th century, what nations were doing were looking at good, fertile pieces of land. They were looking at people who were on this land. They could come and be slaves in their country, and we can own this land. All that kind of thing. So at the time this is taking place, the Babylonians are laying siege to Jerusalem. It is one of the hardest times in the life of God's people, Judah. They're trying to starve out the people in Jerusalem. And Jeremiah has been telling the king and everyone else, it's going to happen. You're going to be carried away. They're going to have the land. And they didn't want to hear it. That's why Jeremiah is in protective custody. But if you noticed, while he's there, God brings him a word. Now, if you were a careful listener to this very unique story, you notice there's some repetition in it. And always when something is repeated, that's a good way for our Bible study to say, hey, I need to pay attention to this because this is said more than once. 6 times it mentions the word of the Lord or the Lord's word. All of that 6 times in these few verses. I think we should pay attention to that, don't you? Because you see, when Jeremiah first heard about buying this piece of land, he thought it was God telling him, giving him this message. That's called discernment, you and I do. And I don't know if you are like me. I've never heard God's voice except one time. It's just, I know. You know how you know deep inside that you can't really explain? You know it's God telling you this. I'll tell you the one time I heard it. I was actually in Duke Divinity School in seminary. I was an older student. I was a wife, a mother. I was working at a church. I was doing seminary. And I loved to read, but there was more reading than I had ever imagined in my entire life in seminary. Be proud. You want a well-trained pastor, but it half kills you before you get to that point. But I remember one day I walked in our small apartment. There was nobody there but me. And I just fell down on my knees and I screamed out, I can't do this. And I heard a voice, however you hear it. And the voice said, I know you can't, but we can. It was God. There was no doubt about it. There were no trumpets and angels and stuff like that, but I knew it was God. And from that moment on, I knew I could get through what I thought I couldn't do, but with God, not showing him how I was going to do it without him. See? So Jeremiah's at that place. He's hearing God. And he says, all right, Hanamel, my cousin's going to come. That seems odd. Do you know why it seemed odd? Do you know why Jeremiah wanted some proof maybe about this? Guess where that piece of land, Anatoth, is? Even to this day. But at that time, all the Babylonians had to do, where they were camped out and ready, sieging Jerusalem, all they had to do to get into Anatoth was this. And they were right there on that piece of land. They were right on the doorstep of this piece of land. And God wants me to buy that piece of land? Full of Babylonians that are going to overrun it, tear up all the crops, take all the animals and cart the people off. And I'm supposed to buy this? No wonder he thought, But then his cousin shows up and he asked the very thing that God told him. So if you notice, Jeremiah said, this must be the word of the Lord. And so Jeremiah was bold to do that. He did everything right. Did you notice the detail? The boring detail. All the witnesses rolled it up, gave one to this person. You know, he had way more witnesses than the Old Testament says you need when you carry out a legal transaction, which Old Testament says two, maybe three. He had a lot of witnesses. And they signed two copies of this and rolled it up and put it in an earthenware jar. That's the equivalent of putting something you want to keep in Tupperware. Okay. All right. It's going to last. So they put it in the earthenware jar and they put it up. Can you imagine what the people were saying? Hey, I hear Jeremiah bought a piece of land right there where the Babylonians are. Can you believe it? If he wants to do that, I got some swamp land over here. Maybe he'll buy that too. That's what they were saying then. But then the word of the Lord came again. And now I'm going to put my glasses back on to read this. I want it to be right from the book. And here's what God said again. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land. Houses and fields and vineyards. That means somebody's coming back to build a house. Somebody's coming back to plant a vineyard, to grow the grapes and pick the grapes. Somebody's coming back. This exile, this takeover by the Babylonian army, this losing everything is not the end of the story. It's not the end. Now, do you know why this is my favorite story? God does an amazing thing to me, goes out of his way, I wonder if that's out of his comfort zone. I don't think so. If he can appear in a burning bush to Moses, this wouldn't have been out of his comfort zone. But God was offering hope to the people who were taken over by the Babylonians, who did lose their land and all their animals and who were carted into exile. Everyone except the poorest of the poor and the sickest of the sick were taken out over to Babylon. But imagine them sitting in Babylon after this purchase. Now they're saying, hey, did you hear? Jeremiah bought a field right in the middle of where the Babylonians just came on, wreaked havoc and took everything. We're going back. We're going back home. I don't know when, but we're going back because God told him to do it. You see the hope? You see the hope? Some people would say God showed up and showed out in that transaction. When we look at the world today, it's hard, isn't it? I walked in with someone and we both were sharing how hard it is to watch much TV or much news and those things. It's hard. It's hard where we are. We know people who are needing help with food, with buying medicine, with... It's just hard. So, where is our hope? I don't know of any purchases of land that God's asked. Although, since God's done it once, I wouldn't put it past God to do it again. But you know what I was thinking? This is what the church does, right? We are the hope bringers. We are the ones who look for hope and say, hey, did you see that? Do you know what I saw about this very church? I saw on Facebook that you have a new ministry, visiting laypersons, right? Yeah. There's hope. Whatever is going on, because to me, loneliness and having no family here and all, and people don't really know where you are or how you're doing or anything, showing that kind of care to someone who's not a preacher. There's nothing wrong with a preacher, but you know, it's our job to do that. But it's your job too, and you have a ministry where you're doing that. That's hope. Because all the people you're seeing say, I matter. Somebody cares about me. And we need that in this world, don't we? You have a new service, an early morning service. That's hope. More casual. I don't think you would have turned away anyone who came in anything, but sometimes people aren't comfortable. But over there, a new service, that's hope. The people of the church are the ones who bring the hope because we've got the eyes. We know what it looks like. Because we know how we were before we knew Jesus, right? We know what redemption looks like. And what the Apostle Paul says, that we are changed from the inside out. And it's that inside that drives us to be the hope bringers. In little and small ways, being God's people is hope for the world. Because friends, let me tell you, I've read the end of the book. Spoiler alert, God wins. God wins. This is one story. And God goes out of God's way in something as unique as a real estate transaction to show that God's people matter. And they will make a difference for good in the world. And the suffering and anguish they're going through now is not the end. And also, that God is the one who's planned our future. That too is in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Good plans, not plans to harm you. I will give you a future with hope. Hope bringers, unite. Go forth with hope of the Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 396. Thank you for the cue. I wanted to make sure I was in the right place. 396. Stand if you are able and let's sing with joy.
Thank you.
And now may the love of our God fill us to overflowing. May the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ fill us to overflowing. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, may we be sent forth so that all that we have, love, grace, honor, hope, may be spilled out and shared with the world. Go forth with the joy of the Lord, my friends. Amen and amen.